This is Global Media News on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio. I'm Stephen Shaw.
And I'm Christina Kevins. This week we have news from China, South Africa, Kenya, Great Britain, Syria, and Brazil.
From China?
Was the Chinese government behind the disappearance of the movie star, Fan Bing Bing?
From South Africa?
Will social media tilt the upcoming elections in 2019 with fake news?
From Kenya?
How big is social media and Kenya commerce? Are Kenyans buying what social media is selling?
From the United Kingdom?
Why did the UK data watchdog fine Facebook £500,000 for privacy violation?
Also from the UK?
Can non-disclosure agreements keep the press from reporting the facts of Great Britain?
From Syria?
What role has social media played in the Syrian crisis? Can President Assad keep the internet from spreading the news?
From Brazil?
Did fake news and WhatsApp and social media help elect President Bolsonaro in Brazil?
All this and more coming up on OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, streaming live from the University of New York College at Old Westbury.
Stars in China. She appeared in 2014 with the X-Men in Days of Future Past, and according to Forbes magazine, one of the highest paid stars. She made about $43 million in 2017.
Other than being a big star, she's been in the news lately for other reasons. What's been going on?
Well, the Chinese government wants actors to have some social responsibility. Fan Bing Bing was last seen when a state-affiliated report came out this year. Score 0 out of 10 for social responsibility, and China's communist leaders keep a hold on the entertainment industry because they don't want entertainment to be seen as promoting money worshiping, and the government put a pay cap in place, which makes it the lead actors should receive more than 70% of total wages for the whole cast.
Is it true that Bing Bing went missing this summer?
Yes, at some point after July 1st, she wasn't seen in public for months. It turned out that she was part of an investigation for tax evasion. There's this practice in China that some stars participate in called yin-yang contracts, and that's when one contract lists actors' real salary and a different one shows a smaller salary that's submitted to tax authorities. The Chinese government censorship affects how celebrities promote the party line, and Bing Bing did not.
What's her status now?
As of this month, she's been fined $129 million. If all the money is paid back, she won't have to face criminal charges. She's apologized numerous times on social media platforms. She said without the Communist Party and the state's good policies, without the love from the people, there would be no fan for Bing Bing.
So overall, what's been the result of all this?
Well, she kind of took a downfall. Fan Bing Bing was a brand ambassador for many products, such as Louis Vuitton and other big names. She's unfortunately losing out on those relationships due to her actions. The Chinese government has put in more government regulations that aim to crack down on the very highly paid celebrities. Back to you, Christina.
Thanks, Christina. We will be right back with media news from South Africa. South Africans are worried about social media of the coming elections of 2019. Should they worry about the scourge of fake news that has had such an impact on the course of Brazil?
The United States is not the only democracy worried about fake news and social media disrupting elections. South Africa will have an important election for the National Assembly in May of 2019. Many South Africans are getting nervous that fake news on social media will corrupt the election process. Kelly Hintz is ready to talk about social media and politics in South Africa. Kelly, what drew you to this topic?
I think I was so drawn to this topic because it was something so familiar. The United States has been used as an example to other countries on how important it is to be aware of false news lingering on social media. South Africa is encountering a social media revolution right now.
Who is involved in this revolution?
This seems to be a cause created by the people for the people. According to the South African, there are four different groups that are said to be corrupting the election. The Gupta Bots, the Pro-F, which are the economic freedom fighters, the pro-radical economic transformation, and the international far-right, all political groups that are trying to make their voices heard on social media platforms. The group making the largest splash should be the EFF, the Economic Freedom Fighters, and it's because of their inability to be defined from their fake accounts on sites like Twitter and Facebook.
What role is social media playing in the May 2019 election?
The use of social media is growing rapidly all over the world, and in South Africa, they are concerned with the influence that social media platforms are having throughout the government and its propaganda. After the 2016 United States election, they're being sure to keep a close eye on the, quote, fake news being spread on sites like Twitter. Things that they are doing to ensure that they do not end in a crisis like the United States. Twitter is suspending accounts that are relaying false information regarding the election and its candidates. The suspension is for a couple of days to monitor to see if it's a robot, if it's a person.
Why do you think this is relevant to the election?
I believe it's relevant to the election because it's going to be determining their country's future. Their democracy is like their character. It's how they pride themselves. And if their election becomes biased or manipulated, then they are going to be losing a lot of credibility with their people, with other countries, and it could open up a whole different can of worms for global media news. This is kind of my respect.
Thanks, Kelly. Rutheria Pierre is up next with a report from Kenya, where social media is a booming business. Rutheria, how important are the social media in Kenya commerce? When business wants to reach consumers in Kenya today, are marketers turning to the social media instead of radio, television, and the press? Does everyone have a smartphone in Kenya?
First things first, I want to say social media in the last 5 years has been on a big uprise. The five most popular sites, platforms on social media in Kenya right now is Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Snapchat. What it is a lot of people that have small businesses, they start off with a Facebook or like Instagram profile. They get their followers up, they plumb on as much as they can, and a lot of people in Kenya are saying that because of social media that it's attracting more attention and they're able to speak to a widespread group instead of like singular people. People are bittersweet. There's some people in Kenya who feel like the social media uprises a little too much, and there's other people who feel like it's a great way to get, you know, the marketplace moving. And within the last like year, you know, in 2017, the market has gone up a great deal. I think that it's a positive thing because it's not only used for commerce. People are able to voice their opinions without feeling like they have to be censored. They get to speak on issues that they may feel like, you know, other people, that the news may not reach. And, of course, television and radio and press is popular, but social media seems to attract the eye of many people. As of September 2017 of last year, a total of 12 million Kenyans were on WhatsApp, with 7.1 million on Facebook. YouTube saw 8 million Kenyans actively during that same year, 4 million taking over Instagram. Instagram is also very popular with the pictures, and a lot of artists have been taking over Instagram to show different parts of Kenya. It's a great way to get people to understand what's going on, show them a side of the continent that they never even seen before. But I definitely think that it was a smart idea. And not everybody in Kenya has smartphones. They have laptops, different ways of access to get into social media. For Global Media News, I'm Rutheria Pierre. Back to you, Steve.
Thanks, Rutheria. Let's head to Europe and Great Britain for a discussion of data and privacy in the UK.
My co-host, Stephen Shaw, is ready with news about various government attempts to protect data privacy. This month, Information Commissioner's Office, or ICO, fined Facebook. Stephen, why was Facebook fined by the UK's Information Commissioner's Office?
A fine of £500,000 was issued against Facebook by the UK's Data Protection Watchdog for its role in the Cambridge Analytical data scandal.
How was the Facebook data acquired?
The UK's ICO report cited that the Cambridge Analytica harvests data from 87 million Facebook users through a quiz game created by a developer.
What was the data used for?
The data analytics is used for political purposes and campaigns in the UK. Personal information was used to micro-target voters.
What was the UK Facebook feedback after this data breach was announced?
Many Facebook users in the UK deleted their Facebook profiles, and some users even closed their accounts due to this invasion of privacy.
What are your personal thoughts on this data?
As someone who uses social media, I am angered to hear about Facebook's wrongdoings. People have a right to their own privacy of information on social media, and that information should not be taken and used without their permission or used against them. For Global Media News, I'm Stephen Shaw. Back to you, Christina.
Thanks, Stephen. We have another news item from the United Kingdom about privacy in the press. Eli Petaway is on the Privacy in the UK beat this week. This is a story about press freedom and privacy rights in Great Britain. It is also about libel laws and non-disclosure agreements. Eli, what is in the news stories in the Telegraph that has created all of this chatter about non-disclosure agreements, privacy, and press freedom?
Well, just to explain what happened, a leading business risk grantor ruling against the Telegraph, which is a newspaper company, about failing the alleged sexual harassment and racial abuse of the staff. They believe that the accusations against the men would definitely start a MeToo movement when it comes to the unfair treatment of women, minorities, and others by some power players. The court ordered a speedy trial on whether or not the non-disclosure agreement was good. Just to give a background, non-disclosure agreement is a consists of a contract by which one or more parties agree not to disclose confidential information that they have shared with each other or as necessary part of doing business together. What really sparked it was that a man named Peter Hain, who is a member of the House of Lords and is the second chamber of the UK Parliament, fulfilled him as Mr. Green, which then put his name for human rights error. Mr. Green, his name is Mr. Green, and now they know him as his real name, Philip Green. Mr. Green said that he fails to file a formal complaint against Mr. Hain, actually, and Mr. Hain responded saying that he stands by his remarks anyways, and that his remarks would either retract nor apologize for standing up for human rights. Theresa May, who's the Prime Minister, said that non-disclosure agreements cannot stop people from whistleblowing, but it's clear that the same employers are judging them unethically. When he said his name in court, what protects him is privilege. This protects him from being prosecuted over what he says in Parliament. It allows lawmakers to operate freely without any outside interference. Actually, not all the people who actually made accusations against him wanted their complaints to be published. Two people said that they supported the injunction. Actually, some people have a big problem with this. Lord Edward Garner, who specialized in privacy law, and was a former Solicitor General, said that he doesn't think it was good. When somebody who is one part of the Constitution ignores the role of the courts, he also said, why don't we have Peter Hain deciding whether you and I are guilty of burglary without looking at evidence first? Garner added that he thinks that Peter Hain is abusing his privileges and his power, and that he made gross judgment doing so. And then, on the other hand, you have somebody like Zelda Perkins, who is actually Harvey Weinstein's former personal assistant. She believes that there isn't any reason at any time when NDAs are acceptable. She said that there shouldn't be any shame or fear about calling out bad behavior, and that the environment right now is key to help the people that are actually doing these crimes. And she specifically relates to this because she broke a non-disclosure agreement from the late 1990s to alleged sexual harassment from Harvey Weinstein. She mentioned how she believes that the NDA should be banned around sexual harassment. Currently, the government is thinking about prohibiting NDAs or involves sexual harassment in the workplace. I think the bigger question is, should NDAs be kept when it comes to cases like sexual assault and abuse, or is it becoming weaponized to help the accused? it was mentioned by Thurgood how maybe fewer people tried to fulfill the NDAs if they knew that there wasn't a way to get out of these accusations. It'll be interesting to see what the government decides about NDAs and how it's used for them. For the Liberty Media News, I'm Raj Pelway.
The civil war in Syria is a humanitarian disaster of incredible proportions that has been going for 7 years. The dictatorial government of Bashar al-Assad is still in power. Cities have been devastated, and much of the Syrian population has been displaced by the violence. Syrian media is controlled by the state, and the government has tried to control the internet and social media during the conflict. My co-host, Christina Pierre-Louise, is here to give an idea of how important social media have been in the tragedy in Syria. Christina, can you give us some background on the Syrian crisis?
Syrian crisis has been occurring for the past 7 years. On a regular basis, civilians, including children, babies, are being murdered, kidnapped, ripped apart from their families. Their homes are constantly being bombed and their cities destroyed. CNN has described this conflict as beginning with the peaceful uprising against the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad. Their protest was an effort to bring democracy into their government.
What are some of the ways that social media have been a factor in the Syrian crisis?
Social media brought deeper attention to this crisis in ways such as using graphic videos and pictures and posting them online, which resulted in outrageous other issues and pushed for a government involvement. Share America shows us some of the ways that social media has influenced the awareness brought into the crisis. One of the ways that social media a Facebook page ran by Brandon Stabby called Humans of New York, where, for the most part, he takes pictures of random strangers and shares them their stories. He has traveled to Syria and has taken pictures of many of the civilians there and has shared a lot of their stories. He also interviews refugees and shared their stories and what they've been going through, or people that are trying to become refugees in the state. And he has started GoFundMe's to help. Twitter is also a major media site that has brought attention to many global situations around the world, including this one. One of the stories that went viral on Twitter was of a Syrian refugee selling pens with his own daughter, and the hashtag #BuyPens has led to over $200,000 being raised for the man and his family, where he was able to start a business. Canadian Council for Refugees suggests ways that social media can bring awareness and promote refugee rights. Is cues on how to properly use social media such as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to bring awareness and rights to refugees. Many sites have started different campaigns to help the Syrians in their allowing more refugees into the state. For Global Media News, I'm Christina Pierre-Louise.
Thanks, Christina. Brianna Smith is here to talk about Brazil and social media. Many Brazilians are still in shock about the re-election of Brazil's new president, Jair Bolsonaro. Many Brazilians are cheering as well. President Bolsonaro is a right-wing populist who many are comparing to our President Trump. Social media played a very big role in their campaigns. There has been a lot of discussion about misinformation and fake news spreading on social media during the Brazilian election. Brianna, did social media play an important role in this electoral campaign?
Hey, Stephen. Unfortunately, it did. And I say unfortunately because the fake news going on. And it definitely manipulated the voters of this campaign.
What social media platform played an important role in this election?
Most of the Brazilians, they use WhatsApp. I believe it was about 44% of the population use WhatsApp. So Global Media News, I'm Brianna Smith, back to you, Stephen.
Thank you, Brianna. That's all for this week. Our wonderful producer is Kristen Brave. Thanks to Christina Pierre-Louise for hosting with me, and thanks to our engineer, Miguel Castro, for making us sound good for this week.
Today, we hear reports from Kelly Hanks, Eli Foley, Lydia Pierre, Christina Pierre-Louise, Stephen Shaw.
Global Media News is brought to you by OWWR, Old Westbury Web Radio, and the Media and Communications Department here at State University of New York College at Old Westbury.
For more media news and resources, check out our latest post at globalmedianews.org, where you can listen to all of our webcasts and subscribe to our podcast.
Follow us on Twitter at OWWRGMN. Use our Twitter to keep up with the latest news for aspiring journalists and media professionals. That's at OWWRGMN.